sitting down with Sandy Gluckman, the author of Who's in the Driver's Seat? And she's here today to talk to us just a little bit about her concept, spirited economics, and how you should apply that and why you should apply this in your workplace. And welcome, Sandy. How are you doing today?
Hi, Amelia. I'm doing great. Thank you. Even better for being able to have the opportunity to chat with you.
Well, awesome. Great. Thanks. And so just do you mind just giving us a brief background on you and where you come from and why you started writing about this topic?
Oh, okay. That's a big question. I have a PhD in psychology and then went for postgraduate studies in organizational behavior and organizational development. And for many years, consult to corporate leaders, assisting them in strengthening the kind of leadership traits that deliver sustainable business growth. And as you said, Amelia, my concept is called spirited economics, which is a pretty effective but also very challenging approach to leadership. And put simply, spirited economics states that employee spirit is a quantifiable financial asset. So we could say that the level of employee spirit in an organization is clearly measurable on the bottom line, because the higher levels of employee spirit and energy are linked to higher participation and productivity, lower operating costs, higher margins, and higher customer loyalty. But then, of course, it means that in order to achieve spirited economics, we need the kind of leaders that have the skills that will ignite the spirit of employees and then take that remarkable energy that is released and focus that on the business goals.
Gotcha. Wonderful. And just out of curiosity, why did you start writing about this? Where did you see the need for the concept of spirited economics in our business world today?
Well, this goes back Amelia. I was born in Johannesburg in South Africa, and it was during the brutal apartheid regime, which meant for me that as a child I grew up witnessing shocking leadership behaviors. Mostly behaviors that were attempting to destroy the dignity and spirit and self-respect of millions of people. And then later as a young adult, I discovered that many CEOs and senior business executives were displaying the exact same shocking leadership traits, which sort of makes sense, it sort of becomes part of the culture.
Right.
And then when I studied further, I saw that there was a pattern to these leadership traits. They were mostly arrogant, self-serving, self-righteous, defensive, closed-minded, and these leaders had an outrageous sense of entitlement. So I became fascinated by the whole topic of what causes some leaders to behave in this way and what causes others not to. And so I did a great deal of research on this. And, Amelia, I had the perfect situation to do this research. I guess I was in the right place at the right time, because when Nelson Mandela came out of prison and was made president, I was lucky enough to consult to the leaders of the major organizations in South Africa.
Wow.
And they were faced with this huge challenge where they literally had to transform their leadership approach in order to connect with millions of angry, hurt employees. And it was critical that they did achieve this and become more productive, because sanctions had been removed and South African businesses were competing globally once again. And so I was able to research which of the leaders were able to move from the old South Africa to the new and which ones were not, and what was the defining factor between those who could and those who could not. And my research clearly showed that the defining factor was that those who could not make that move were unable to put their egos away and re-engage in a very authentic way with the employees. So that's really what got me thinking.
That's an amazing story of how you came across this concept. And talking briefly about the ego and the spirited self, why can you kind of define the two and talk about why a spirited leader, what are the actual manifestations of a spirited leader? How can you recognize one, and how does that really, I mean, kind of touching on, how does that really benefit a workplace as a whole?
Yes, well, I think that's important at this stage to say that sometimes there's a misinterpretation of the word spirited. It's not a religious concept at all. Here I'm really referring to the sort of life force energy that we feel when we are being true to who we are, who we are as a human being. So when I speak about being spirited, I'm speaking about a leader who, you know, what you see is what you get.
Right.
You know that there are no hidden agendas. You mm-hmm. feel that they are completely genuine, they're open, their communication is honest and transparent. And at the same time, that creates an enormous amount of trust. So once there's trust, there's a lot of very positive energy to begin with. But the spirited leaders, not only are they very genuine and authentic, they also are driven by a vision. Because when we are being connected to the source of who we are, we're usually connected to a dream. And so spirited leaders are vision-driven leaders. They also normally have the energy and the language to inspire others to come on board with this dream. Spirited leaders are genuinely collaborative. They simply don't know another way to be because, you know, they have no agendas or they're not self-serving, so their modus operandi is let's get together, put all our talents together and make some magic happen. So they're very, very, what I call we. Their we is stronger than their me. And then finally, because they don't sweat the small stuff. You know, ego is very defensive and always looking for a reason to be offended or upset about something or angry with someone. The spirited leaders don't sweat the small stuff. They've got this dream, they've got the people on board, and they're able to be very creative with whatever they have to work with. So you can see that the benefits, the economic and financial benefits emerging out of having a leader like that, who then creates a culture like that, it must translate into a very powerful bottom line.
Oh, and that's wonderful. Now, and you recently actually got to come to Zappos and present to us your ideas on spirited economics, and it was wonderful. And how can you think of maybe some examples that you saw here at Zappos that manifested in that idea of spirited leadership and spirit in the workplace and just kind of some ideas that you saw from around our office?
Well, yes, and thank you for that wonderful visit. I mean, I have been blogging about it. I have been speaking in my keynotes about it. I have been telling my family about it because that visit was truly a wonderful experience. So let me see. That, you know, really I guess that the whole issue of spirited economics is about, it's a kind of a partly a psychological issue. It's all about the fact that spirited employees have got boundless energy. They feel great passion for what they do and very interactive and committed and have got this huge desire to succeed. And that's exactly what I saw at Zappos. From my perspective, when I visited you, I became so excited because Zappos is a prime example of spirited economics in action. And look at the amazing results you're getting. I've just been telling everybody about the level of employee spirit that I saw there. In fact, one of my blogs is called Do Your Employees Have Shining Eyes? Because I have never seen so many shining eyes as I saw at Zappos. And I think that it's because the leadership, obviously it stems from leadership, and it appears that the leadership of Zappos truly understands that employee spirit is a competitive edge. And not only do they understand that, but they also have in their own style, the spirit and the humility to engage the employee's spirit and make wonderful things happen. So, yes, that was such an incredible way of seeing spirited economics alive and well when I visited Zappos.
Well, thank you very much. Yeah, and we, again, it was a pleasure having you, and I'm glad that, we were on our best behavior for you.
I don't think so. I just found everybody just so authentic and spontaneous and natural. You know, I think that truly, Amelia, when I visit other organizations, they are on their best behavior. And then when you go away, not such good behavior emerges. Whereas here, I could just sense that this was the spontaneity and energy and enthusiasm was real.
Well, fantastic. Yeah, and we do our best around here. It is a great place to work. We actually, yesterday, we just had our employee picnic, which was wonderful. And Tony, of course, came out and enjoyed it with us as well. And we had food and events and inflatable things going around. And it was a wonderful time for all the Zappos family and friends. And they closed the call center down so that everyone could come out and join. And it was wonderful. So as you're talking about this, it reminds us, too, that we take our time to just be with each other as a community and remember our but at the same time remembering our goals of what we want to do as far as both business and within the company itself, making sure that we are we are promoting that positive team and family spirit as one of our core values is, and it was a joy. So that's I'm just having
yes.
to talk about that at, yeah.
and you know, Amelia, what you're saying is it's so important, because really it is an example of how leadership is prepared to invest time and money in making this happen, in igniting the spirit of the people, in honoring the spirit of the people. Many companies just would not take the time and money to do that because they would see it as perhaps, I don't know, frivolous or something. But for me, that's a huge competitive advantage. So I wish I'd been at the picnic.
I know, me too. Maybe next year.
Remember to invite me.
I will. All right. And then one of the concepts, too, that you talked about when you came to visit us, and I believe it's in your book as well, is the left brain versus the right brain, and making sure that we're engaging both sides when talking to employees and our customers alike. Can you touch on that idea on why it is so important to make sure that both sides of the brain are engaged in these kinds of events and activities and business practices?
Yes, you've asked one of my favorite questions. My second favorite question. The first one is about ego and spirit. The second one is about the left brain and the right brain. Well, yes, Amelia, you know, I think that it's like a seesaw. You know, when the one side goes down and the other side goes up, there has to be the other side will eventually come down and the other side will go up. And so I think that for many, many years, the left brain has been king in business, because that's the part of us that thinks in a structured, ordered fashion, that has the details, that is quantitative and crunches the numbers, that is logical and rational and sequential. And so, you know, you can, and where all our knowledge and our information is. So you can see we come from a era of knowledge workers and a great deal of focus on all that detail. And what's happening right now is that it's becoming evident that if we're going to manage to work through the challenges in the world, not only the United States of America, we are going to have to bring back some of the wonderful thinking styles of the right brain, which has kind of been ignored for many years. And the right brain, I'm not saying we should ignore the left brain, I'm simply saying we need to get more balance and bring right brain thinking into our planning and into our communicating. That right brain part of us is the part that is intuitive and it is imaginative, highly creative. It has the ability to see the big picture, the panoramic view. It has the ability to sense opportunities and possibilities. And all that kind of thinking is not available in the left brain. And so you can see, with the world having shifted so much as it has, we're going to need the right brain to be able to understand the new realities and the kind of things that will be the economic engine of those new realities. But that is creative thinking. And spirited leaders will know that they need to include both left brain thinking and right brain thinking in the way that they plan and also the way that they speak. So it doesn't mean it has to come from one person, Amelia, because sometimes some people prefer to be very creative and tell a story and be very passionate, and other people's style is to just give the details in an objective way. But nevertheless, we need to be sure that the message is coming across and we're using the thinking skills of both sides of the brain.
And wow, that's very,
does that
very
make
intuitive.
Sense?
Yeah, no, it makes absolute sense. So, and even if it's as long as you have a team of people, you know, and that's balanced as far as some people are left brain,
yes,
and some people are right brained.
Exactly,
most likely
and
to
come
up, yeah.
Yeah, and the problem with us as human beings, Amelia, is that we tend to gravitate to the people who think like us.
Yes.
So, you know, teams are often all left-brainers, and then you get this one right-brainer in the team, and everybody just patronizes them. They go, oh, there goes Sandy again. She's flying out in the sky. She's, you know, off the walls, and very creative Sandy, but really we need to just get back to reality because there's nine left-brainers of us.
Right, right.
So we must be careful not to create half-brained teams because we'll get a half-brained result.
Right. Well, fantastic. And then now, on from your website, sandygluckman.com, How do you suggest to a business who needs to increase their spirit as an asset? How do you suggest? Where do they start, and what do you recommend that they do to make sure that they are using spirit as an asset and including the right and left brain and kind of taking your ideas as a whole and packaging them and using them?
Well, I guess that one of the first things to do would be to just purchase my book, Who's in the Driver's Seat, which is really a short, easy-to-read handbook. In fact, the publishers are publishers who only publish business books, and they don't publish more than 90 pages because they say, you know, people are very busy and they don't have time to read.
Yes.
And so this is a quick, easy read, but it has some very important information in it because it's a story of two leaders, Dave and George. Dave is the one whose ego is in the driver's seat, and George is the one whose spirit is in the driver's seat. And it tells, chapter by chapter, it tells a story of the impact of Dave's and George's different styles on the performance of their teams. So that would be a good place to start to understand the concept of spirited economics and spirited leadership. And if that appeals to someone out there in an organization who says, you know, I think we do need more spirit in our companies, particularly with the recession. Our employees are feeling pretty low. They're anxious. We definitely need more spirit. Then I would recommend that they take a look at the different programs that I offer. There's the Spirited Leader Skills Building Program. So what we do there is that we strengthen and update leadership skills in the organization, and we teach six really distinctive leadership skills that are very different because of the current realities being so different from what they were before. It's a wonderful, exciting program, and it is attached to results. So we actually do a baseline on certain metrics of spirited economics that the organization chooses, and then we put the leaders through the program, they acquire the spirited skills, and then we remeasure after a period of time. And there are a number of programs, Amelia. The other one that's my real favorite is the Strategic Leadership Alignment Program. It's an intensive program which is about combining leadership development and strategic development, and it's all about really teaching leadership skills that create alignment of the executives at the top and then alignment from boardroom to backroom for the execution of the strategic goals. If I guess I could go on, but that's, I think, on my website available,
mm-hmm.
Under the heading of programs, and we have two wonderful assessment tools as well that will measure the strategic level, spirited level in companies, and also provide a roadmap for creating higher levels of spirit and higher levels of profitability.
Yes, and it's very enlightening. I mean, just the presentation that you presented to us, it was very enlightening personally and professionally. I mean, there's always things that we can do as individuals and as a company, you know, to make sure we're constantly improving ourselves and leading with our spirited selves. So it was very enlightening just for me just having come in. So I would definitely recommend and reading Sandy's book, checking out her website, seeing if there's anything there as well for anybody who wants to consider this issue at hand. But also Yeah, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And
of course I love doing keynotes. That's my very favorite. So if there's a leadership offsite, I would love to come and chat to the leaders about this.
Fabulous. Awesome. And of course, too, you know, we don't, at Zappos Insights, we don't particularly teach on spirited leadership per se, but we try to just embody that as a whole and teach it through show. So check out us as well. I think as Sandy mentioned, we try to exhibit her ideas here, naturally as a company. If you want to come to a live event too, they are very fun, and you'll definitely get an experience of what it is to see spirited leadership in action.
I can certainly attest to that, Amelia. They are very fun, highly, highly informative, and actually a mind-opening experience. I really highly recommend that. If you can visit Zappos, you should do that. It's just phenomenal to see what they have accomplished.
Yep, and we have access to, of course, if you are a member as well on our membership site, you have access to those leaders at any time, and you can ask them a question or ask us a question, and we'll forward it to whoever is most appropriate and get you a response as soon as we can from the leader, from the manager, or we ask even Tony sometimes questions if it's appropriate for him, and he'll get a response to you as well. It's kind of a cool way to have access to those guys. But anyway, I think that was all the questions I had for you. Did you have anything else you wanted to add today, Sandy?
No, thank you. You've asked some really pertinent questions. I think that, as you said, that the whole concept, you didn't specifically think about what you were doing as spirited economics or spirited leadership, but that what you are doing at Zappos is just so reflective of what I've been writing about, and so that's very exciting for us to be able to speak about this today.
Yes, it's been wonderful. I'm so glad again that you came, just so that we could, you know, put what we do here into something tangible and something that again that we can try to help teach other people. So it's been a pleasure, and again, this was Dr. Sandy Gluckman, the author of Who's in the Driver's Seat, and her website is sandygluckman.com. It's been a pleasure again, Sandy, and I hope that you are enjoying your time in Dallas. Dallas, right?
That's correct. Very different to where you are.
Yes. Yes, so anyway, it's been a pleasure, Sandy, and I hope you have a wonderful day.
Thank you, and you too, Amelia. Thank you so much. Bye now.
Bye.